Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in. This is the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And the Chiefs now are above 500 and are very close to being in complete control of their destiny as it pertains to their ability to chase down the one seed and win the AFC West. How you feeling, Jay Binkley?
Good. I mean, they're still in the same position. They're just right first team out as we sit right now. But you know how things change in the NFL real quickly. I don't think there's a lot of teams. I would take the Chiefs over any team playing a neutral field right now, to be honest with you. It would have been nice had the Giants not sucked in the fourth quarter yesterday, giving up 33 points.
Man, they just fell apart.
And given Denver that L, because I was excited about that.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? I was like, Chiefs are going to be a three-way tie for first in the West.
Giants plus seven in the circumbets, but as you know, you're going to win it anyway, but you'd rather win outright given that L.
Yeah, no, that would have been awesome.
The AFC West looked great yesterday with the Chiefs winning and everybody else losing.
Oh, man, it was looking
until
good.
Until Denver pulled that other ass. I mean,
it was looking good there, but, you know, unfortunately, it's the NFL, and, you know, there's bad teams are going to be bad teams, and they blow big time leads that they have.
Games aren't over at 14-0, 21-0. It's never over.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw a bad team, you know, bad team, and that's what happens. So, unfortunate, but hey, you know, there's going to be opportunities. I don't really think very highly of this Denver team. And so I think there's going to be other opportunities for the Chiefs.
I thought
Chiefs
their defense was better than that, though. I mean, they had 30 sacks in the season, close to them was 20.
Right.
And obviously, it's going to skew the stats with what they gave up. But the Giants, I'll credit them, man, because they came in there. Again, that rookie class, which we'll get into in a minute because they've been crazy. That rookie class doing well for the Giants. And obviously, the Chiefs didn't get to see that as far as Jackson Dart. And they saw a little skedaboo at times, but certainly a different team. But man, that was just brutal. Brian Burns, you see him after the game. He was pissed.
Oh, he had to because like that was a very winnable game and they blew
completely
that.
Winnable. Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not a big believer in the Broncos. I know their defense is good, but, you know, we've seen them be had before.
I still think they're second best in the division, though, because I think they're better than the Chargers.
Yeah.
Even though the Chargers have won.
And I think their offense is not that great. I know they went out then. They did it against the Giants yesterday, but I don't believe them. If they face good defenses, I don't really believe in them.
I do believe they're better than the Chargers and certainly better than the Raiders. So
I think they're about the same.
I think they're better. But the Chargers have beaten them.
I would take the Chargers over them, but I think they're like at the same level. Like I said, I don't think highly of either of those teams. But One team I do think highly of is Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs went out and they took care of business. In my opinion, that was the most dominant win I've ever seen from the Chiefs in the Andy Reid era. Maybe the most dominant win I've ever seen from them have. Not from a point standpoint, but just the fact that, like, not at any point did it feel like that game was in danger. The Chiefs, their starting offense was out there for, what, five drives? And they scored on all five drives?
Those first three drives, you know, the time,
just
the plays,
right down
doing
the
whatever
field.
They freaking wanted.
Three drives and, that were that started inside the 20.
Two
the
last couple years, you sweat it out to the end. Like this with cardiac Chiefs. You sweat it out to the end of the game. It's just the way they did things.
Not
they tried
game.
Out and they'd kick a field goal with Butker and win the game or whatever. They'd block a field goal like against the Broncos. And you sweat it till the end. There's been no sweating lately with the Chiefs at the end of the game. And if Andy Reid didn't like Pete Carroll, that would have been completely different. There still would have been like 50 bald.
No, because here's the thing.
But he likes him, so they made a difference.
Yeah, but he doesn't like the Raiders, though.
No, but
because they always pull out something against the Raiders.
But he put the backups in the fourth quarter.
Well, because the game was done at that point.
It was, but I'm just saying, had he wanted to, he could have.
And Gardner Minshew, he
played a whole quarter. He played 16 snaps, but he's not in the box score for throwing because he didn't throw.
No,
he didn't throw
once. They just handed it off the whole
game. Yeah, so I'm saying, I think, honestly, that could have been 50 bold.
Yeah, I don't think that they – I just think at that point –
they didn't want to.
The games, they're up 31-0. Hey, let's just put our backups in and let's just play
rule,
it safe.
Man. This is basically the mercy rule without the mercy rule.
Yeah, they're just playing it safe at that point so that they don't risk any injuries.
I know the offense is getting a ton of talk, but seriously, the three first downs, 95 yards, 17 minutes of possession compared to 42. I mean, the defense, I know that the – you know, it's going to be everybody's talking about the offense as they should because the offenses look really crisp. But that was a really, really good defensive performance. And I know the Raiders aren't great, but they weren't coming off an NFL win, and those are NFL players. But Andy Reid's never having that shutout in the regular season, which is really weird. He has one now.
Yeah, I mean, look, they bottled up Ashton Jeanty. He basically was non-existent. He only had like one carry through like the first quarter and a half or something like that.
Hey, don't forget, in the first round, the Raiders said, Jeanty, you're the guy that's going to stop that streak of the Chiefs at nine straight division titles.
Yeah.
And the rookies are doing very well, and he's going to be a good player. He is a very good player. It's just, you know, you got to get more than that to stop the Chiefs. I think they realize that.
Like I said, I didn't think there was much of a chance that the Raiders were going to be competitive in this game. I thought this one was going to be a pretty definitive win, but the level of domination was surprising. I mean, I wasn't shocked that the offense was able to go down the field. Raiders' defense isn't very good.
In one of their first downs, Raiders had was a cheap one.
Yeah.
It was like, well, they just kind of gave up because it's all backup players there at the end. When they picked up one, luckily, they got one. They just threw it up for grabs.
Right, yeah. And so it was just one of those games like you dominated all. Like special teams, they were able to get some good returns, but like that's really it. And yeah, like three first downs in the game for the Raiders compared to 30 for the Chiefs. Like those first three drives, I mean, two of them were inside the 10. One of them was inside the 20. So you went 80-plus on one. I think it was 84. And the other two, it was like a 92 and a 94.
But it was the creativity, you know, with Rice in the game, with Kelsey at times, to draw attention because you have to watch them both. You couldn't double and shadow Kelsey all the time. And also, I like some of the creativity, too. And I know people are – and really, you watch the national shows, they're picking up where Mahomes was trying to draw them off sides, right? And he was doing the acting.
Yeah, that's like the star play from the game. Yeah,
that is. But there's one play that I liked better than that. It was down near the goal line to get a rushing touchdown that they would have easily gotten had Caliendo not been offsides. Because Caliendo was in for Trey Smith at the time. They were in the single wing. Instead of the spinner back spinning, but Mahomes was down in three-point stance. Gardner Minshew was down
Gardner.
Three.
Yep.
And that's the typical single wing. That's what running backs did. They went back there, they squatted, or they put on the ground, then they spun around when they got the ball. But that, you'll see that later when you'll see those guys spin around because that's the essence of the single wing. But that was a single wing play and a nice little push pass for Minshew. I just wish Caliendo wasn't offside. Maybe it's good that he wasn't. So it's not as much attention on that play, but you'll see that in some other form later this
year.
So
they ran some other like flex bone sets and whatnot throughout the game as well. So they're putting that on tape for a reason.
Yeah, you'll see it.
I expect we'll probably see that in like the playoffs or something.
But that single wing can be deadly, man. If they start spinning like a true single wing.
Yeah, they're not going to do it that much, but I think that they might throw that in there at some point in one of the big games they play later this year.
They love doing it against the Raiders.
I mean, look, like I said, Andy, he loves sticking it to the Raiders. They always like to throw a little flair in. Ever since they were doing laps around Arrowhead, every time they play the Raiders, if they can do it, they try to throw some extra flair in there.
And I think
stomping on the logo
didn't help.
Oh, yeah, I think the stomping on the logo exacerbated things. But I really think Andy was pissed about the whole – and I think the team as a whole was pissed about them driving.
And note to self, don't pause smack against the Chiefs like the Raiders doing last
week. Yeah, so
I mean,
like –
what are you doing, guys? Come
on. It is what it is. But, like, this was domination in a way that I don't think – that we haven't seen in
not
a while
used to it,
from
not
the
used
Chiefs.
To it, for sure.
And it was just – it was really fun to watch
it
as,
really
a,
was.
As a fan. So, Breshad Smith, the third-string running back for the Chiefs, the – guy who has converted from receiver to running back, second year playing the position at running back. And I thought he looked really good in this game. Really effective.
The five catches in this game.
Yeah, really effective after the catch in space. And I thought, we saw him in the fourth quarter, he was starting to get some carries too.
He was. The carries were still less than a three-yard average, like 2.5. He wasn't getting the yards, but it was very deadly as a receiver. And Chris, when they would go five wide, right, it would be Breshad lined up a receiver, like, you know, we've been talking about for the longest time, because that's what he is. Convert a receiver, and he has that ability. And they said, you know, there's been other running backs. You heard the story. We went to SMU, and Brett Lashley said, we think we can put you at running back. And he gladly did it. He compared him to Pacheco, his college coach, Brett Lashley, that body size and body type and speed and whatnot. But
which
yeah.
I would disagree with.
No, I would.
I would too. I'd say he's probably closer to like a Jet McKinnon
type. But he's got that breakaway. I mean, I just want to see him break away because he comes so close. Like so close to breaking that away. That we've always said about Pacheco, but I think Breshad will do it. But he's got that, he didn't have that flair like a Pacheco with the flexing and stuff like that. But he's got he's got a lot more power for that body.
Yeah, and
I really like him.
I've been really impressed by what he's done after the catch. And this is the reason why I want to see him get more carries. Because with him, I think he can actually run zone. He can do zone run. The Chiefs want to do more zone run. That's what they like to do because it's more effective at a shotgun than, you know, trying to do gap scheme from under center. They've been doing that more as of late because Pacheco runs better from under. You know, he's a better downhill runner than he is running zone. And that's just is what it is. And my thing with Breshad is that Breshad seems to be a better fit for what the Chiefs want to do. Now, they're running more under center because they have to with Pacheco.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what they want to do.
It's just like what Andy Reid said today. That's why we have three. Clearly, Breshad's become the receiving back.
Right.
Kareem Hunt's your short yardage. And Pacheco's your
first down.
Every down type guy to do things. But and when he got hurt there for a minute, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this is why, you know, this could always happen. Like this, I know the talk now is, oh, they want defensive line help, which they should get in the trade market. But let's not forget, you're one play away from needing more depth at running back, unless you think Elijah Mitchell's that guy.
I mean, I think that's the reason why they're probably keeping Elijah, just in case.
He's stashed for case of emergency break glass.
So I think that in that instance, they might feel comfortable with that situation.
He's going to be fresh as hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He ain't played in any meaningful games since 23. So,
and he does have speed. We know he has that 4.32 speed.
Yeah,
so.
It's just he doesn't do a very good job of finding open space. But, like I said, I think that they are – I'm liking what I'm seeing for Breshad. I want to see him get more touches. And I think that he's a better fit for what they want to do with their offense, especially now they're starting to get the gadget, more fun side to the offense that we saw during those prime years.
He's a good compliment to Mahomes. He's great for Andy Reid calling up plays.
Yeah.
Great in the RPO game. I mean, there's a lot of potential with this kid.
There's just so much more you can do with him because he can catch the
ball. I love the fact when they go five wide.
Yeah.
It's his ass out there spread out.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen enough from Pacheco as a receiver that I don't think any of us feel comfortable with him being a potential receiver on a play. So, like what I'm seeing from Breshad, definitely want to see him get some more carries. I know the yard per carry average wasn't great, but like in that fourth quarter, he was starting to he had some like fours and some fives there, and I was like, okay. Can we get more of that? Like, let's see more of that. Let's see him get more zone inside zone
that'll
runs.
Come. I'm just glad he can catch the ball with authority.
Yeah, and I also
not body catch it with his hands.
And I also want to see him on more outside zone runs too, because especially when, you know, Josh Simmons come back. We don't have an update on him, but especially when he comes back and that left side with him and Suamataia, more athletic offensive linemen there. I want to see those guys.
I was wanting to see more pass pro, but you're not going to see that at the end of the game. They're going to throw it because they didn't throw it.
Yeah, and I would like to see more of that, too.
But you didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
You're not going to – Chiefs didn't throw the football.
Right, right. So
fourth quarter, which is very rare.
Yeah. They usually don't have a 31-point lead in the fourth quarter.
That's very, very rare.
So Omar Norman Lott, my guy, second-round pick out of Tennessee, is done for the year. Tore his ACL.
Shot.
And he's had a really, really disappointing rookie year between just with all the injuries and with the fact that I think they mismanaged him as far as the weight is concerned, trying to get him way too big. I mean, basically, you're talking about him adding on 45 pounds in a span of 2 years.
Well, he's missed, what, two games already
right.
for different injuries. And yes, it's going to be a wait and see. He's definitely going to be a piece of this team for the future. We know that. I hated to see where he went down. I thought it was unnecessary, that extra hit from the Raiders there.
Yeah,
but
100%. But, you know, it is his football.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I just think that, like,
but ACLs, man, damn.
It's a and now he's you know coming back. He's going to come back from it in his second year, when he was already having a hard time adjusting in his first year because they had him add more weight, and you know I think that some of these injuries might be related because they're all lower leg injuries. Now obviously the ACL is not because of the weight. But I do think, you know, he had the ankle injury and then the shoulder injury. I wonder if the ankle injury is related to the weight gain. And then maybe, you know, he's had some issues with stability.
Maybe
that and
shoulder is just a one game issue.
Right. And so, like, there's just a lot of things I don't know. But I wonder how much the weight gain played into him having the ankle issues to begin with. And then it starts to compound with the shoulder, and then eventually you have the ACL, which is a freak thing. I just think the Chiefs have mismanaged his first year, and now it's come to an end abruptly, you know, about a third of the way through the season.
And that sucks. It was your second-round pick.
Yeah, and you were hoping he was – and so now I think at this point you have to be looking at trying to get another defensive tackle, and there's already been talk about them potentially looking at another edge rusher.
Calais Campbell's name keeps coming up.
Yeah, he's –
39-year-old. I mean, he has 3 sacks this year. He'd be serviceable for 1 year.
Right, and look, he's – what is he, like 39, 40 now?
39. But
so,
he's veteran presence.
So this is a guy that has like been around the block. He's played for a lot of different
smart
teams,
guy.
And yeah,
extremely
I mean,
smart.
You don't see a lot of pass rushers play this late, and so you don't
but
see a lot
me,
of players
he's
in
perfect
general.
Fit only because he could go in that locker room and
yeah, I, to
have
me,
a kind of a Terrell Suggs type effect.
I mean, they've got veterans, so I'm not worried about that part. To me, though, it's the production at his age.
He's very productive.
He's still very productive at his. I mean, you don't see a lot of guys get very productive in their mid 30s, let alone late 30s. So,
but that certainly makes. And there's been a lot of talk with that, with different reports. They're looking for defensive line NHL. I still think running back still is there for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. I think now with the defensive line is probably less.
But
well,
with Omar
Norman
Lott
going out, this.
I think now running back's off the table.
And supposedly they've been trying to make deals last couple of weeks. They've been really eyeing him and making phone calls and whatnot. Yeah. So
yeah, maybe something happens there. But I think at this point now, you should be looking at getting some type of rental on D-line. And, I mean, this just kind of harkens back to the point that I was making in the preseason before the draft. Get two D-line, get two defensive tackles – because you want to get some depth at that position, and now that you're missing Norman Lott, now you're missing some depth and some future snaps there.
It certainly kind of narrows down the end of the draft where they'll be picking, because we've talked, I mean, there's some good edge rushers you can get towards the end of the draft, like a T.J. Watt or even a Karloff to somebody like that, but you're probably better off getting a defensive tackle than an edge rusher at that space.
Right, yeah, just because there's, like... We're seeing a lot of these guys
like
later
the Reuben Baines
guys.
And company can be there,
right? Yeah, we're looking at a lot. Like, you know, a prime example of that would be like T'Vondre Sweat, guy we liked coming out of Texas a couple years ago. He goes to Tennessee, and he's actually had a nice impact when he's been healthy. I think he's currently injured right now. I think he's about to come off the list or came off the injured list. But he's someone that has played well for the Titans. In his very few, you know, in his very limited time in the league. And I think that that's an important aspect of it is like, you know, maybe you should probably take a couple of shots at it just in case you miss on one.
Pay attention to Miami with Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, even though I know you're not wild about...
I don't think either of them are real fits for the Chiefs.
Well, Phillips played, what, 14 games last 3 years? So that's the concern.
That's a part... The big thing for Phillips is the injuries. But also, I don't think either of them are really fits. I think they're more speed
guys.
Unless
it's for a two-month rental or whatever.
Yeah, I think Chubb's going to be more expensive for a two-month rental, and I don't think he's going to be worth the price. But even then, like Jalen Phillips, too, I don't think he's worth it. So
they could afford that, though.
Right, yeah. Phillips to me, Calais Campbell seems like, to me, a more interesting addition.
Forgot what he's making this year. It's heavy. It's league minimum.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not very much considering the age. I would imagine that it's probably not much more than what, you know, comparative to what Suggs was making as far as percentage above the league minimum, or maybe he's making right at the veteran minimum, which is like, what, $3 million, $4 million. So to get that for that price, you know, which would be a discounted price considering that how many games he's played, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
No, it just seems it's an obvious one. You look at a team that, and Cardinals have been in some very close games, but
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Right.
Again, they had to start Jacoby Brissett.
So another rookie that I think is definitely playing in a very notable way is Noel Williams, corner for the Chiefs. I looked this stat line up this morning as I was kind of working on the rundown. In six games that he's played in, he's been targeted 14 times in coverage. He's allowed seven receptions, so 50% completion percentage allowed. And he's allowed a grand total of 33 yards. And the longest of that is 9 yards. So count the long in there, count all 33 yards, that's 4.7 yards per catch allowed. If you take out that longest gain of 9 yards, you got six receptions for 24 yards, which is a 4 yards allowed per catch. I mean, for an outside corner, I'd say that's among the elite as far as outside corners go. Now, his snap numbers are not like full starter numbers there. They're still working him in. But in the time that he has been playing, he has shown that he can be a shutdown outside corner in those situations. And we've seen he's also broken up three passes. He also has two forced incompletions. Two of those are pass deflections. So you're talking about a guy that has, in a very limited amount of playing time, you know, again, it's not, he's not like playing like two snaps a game usually. He's usually getting like, what, 20 plus, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 snaps a game. But Noah Williams is absolutely showcasing his presence as an outside corner.
It's not just that, just the picking things off of McDuffie and what he's doing, but it's his positioning too. Always looking back for the ball. He's staying right there with receivers, man. It's a glue.
He's pushing them against the sidelines as great as you can
do.
He
doesn't mind coming up and hitting, which is kind of his MO.
Just huge. That's a huge
football player.
Too,
so
yeah.
He's a guy. By the way, Clay's Campbell is 5.5, and he's an unrestricted free agent.
So it's not that much above veteran minimum.
Half of the salary has already gone to them, and $2 million signing bonus, which is all Arizona paid. So 1 year, 5.5. If the Chiefs got him at that point, it'd probably be 2.5.
Yeah, probably like somewhere in that 2 to 3.5.
But Noel's coming out. He's doing everything you want from a corner, though. So despite the numbers and everything, I'm like, it's a reliable guy. And they've trusted him against good receivers. Like, he's played against some of the best. Yeah. They trusted him against some of the best receiver ones and twos from the other team.
Yeah, he's gotten good matchups, and he's performed well in those matchups. Like I said, that was just that. I wanted to check, what was his numbers looking like? Going into, you know, now we're, you know, a little bit over a third of the way through the season. You know, he's got six games in, played, and I think he's looked incredible out there.
This is a future starter for this team, as we've said.
Yeah, you're looking at it now, and the Chiefs like to run their base set, which has been one of the reasons why he hasn't got as many snaps.
Teams know this, too.
Yeah, but they seem to trust him in those moments there when they do go nickel, when they do go dime.
He's a Spags trusted guy.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they don't want to just rush him in there. They're easing him in, but I think he's done so much with the time that he's gotten out there. I've been really impressed with what Noel has shown, and I really like what I've seen from him. You wanted to bring up an interesting stat about the rookie class.
Just a stat about the rookie class. Obviously, we talked a lot about these rookies throughout the draft process. Ian Rapoport put it on Twitter there. He says, interesting, we appear to be in the middle of a historic season for this rookie class. They've combined for the most scrimmage yards and most scrimmage TDs by any draft class through the first 7 weeks ever. So it's not like in the last 5 years, 10 years, the best draft class ever as far as scrimmage yards and scrimmage TDs through any draft class. And that's the way it was, man. You saw this draft class, you thought playmaker, just like what Judkins is doing with Cleveland right now and what Skedaboo's doing and added to the offense with New York. But again, we saw there's a lot of playmakers in last year's draft class, and, well, they're going out and proving it.
Especially this running back class. Running back class are looking really good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. Based on
Use Jenty yesterday because he's been very good after contact.
Yeah. And also.
And Hampton's hurt.
Yeah. Also, like, Jenty hasn't been quite as good after contact as he was in college, which was going to happen playing in the league. I think the interesting thing about this class, though, is like, I mean, one, the quarterback class, you know, is what it is. But man, like, I really like the running back class. We're seeing like all, like, even like Dylan Sampson, who got benched in favor of Quinshon Judkins, has looked good in the times that he's gotten a lot of carries in. And I think there's a lot of good foundation from the linemen. I think there's a lot of good foundation from the running backs. And I think this is a really, really nice start for this rookie class. And there's going to be a lot of guys that we see on like day two, day three that will kind of pop up out of the woodworks here over the rest of the season.
Yeah, the three
especially
rookies,
running backs.
The three rookies with, as Ian put out, three rookies that already have 500 plus scrimmage yards are Skedaboo, Jenty, and Judkins.
Yeah, which, you know, highlights how good the running back class is.
And you're going to see another, well,
and only one of those guys is a first-round pick at running back.
But Ibuka is supposed to play tonight for Tampa.
And Ibuka is really good, too.
He's got dealing with that hamstring. He's dealing with that hamstring. But I know this will come out after this game is already played. But he's supposed to play tonight. This is the latest, which is crazy. I mean, it shows his toughness.
I mean, like I said, this class has been really, really good.
It has been.
And you know, we talked about it a lot. So, yeah. So let's get to our Week 8 recap for the college football season. Starting off with Louisville taking on Miami. They played on Friday night. I caught some of this game. Carson Beck was terrible in this game. 271 passing yards, but he had four picks in the game.
They were ugly picks.
They were just this kind of highlights what we've been talking about here the last month now about how lackluster the quarterback class looks after, you know, all the hype going into the season. Man, this this is like a prime example. It's like Carson Beck was one of the favorite running backs, I mean quarterbacks from last year's class. A guy that a lot of people thought, you know, could be a first round.
Again, Miller Moss looking good. Louisville's a very pesky team, man. Miller Moss was better than
oh, he was. Miami in that game.
And Bell too is one of the best receivers in the country. Christopher Bell's big too.
A lot of people like him as a first round receiver.
Almost made my list of moneymakers. He's 6'2", about 220 pounds, big physical receiver. He had 9 for 136 in a touch in this game.
Yeah, and I think he might have injured his hamstring in the second half, but they were working on his leg. I think they were working on his hamstring in the game, but, man, he looked good.
Christopher Bell looked really good.
He looks really good. So, big fan of Chris Bell there. Mizzou took on Auburn. Pulled this one out in overtime. I think it was double overtime, right?
It was.
It was an ugly game.
Should have been over a lot sooner than that.
It was an ugly-ass game. Zion Young, man. This is a really good edge class. This is a really, really good edge class, man.
When you think about Missouri with him and then Damon Wilson they brought in from Georgia, they've been getting sacks, but they've been getting sacks against good teams.
Yeah.
Like against Bama and Auburn and stuff like this.
He's playing really well.
He's had extremely productive games against what I would call good SEC teams. I know Auburn's got 4 straight losses, but that's still a good football team.
That's a really talented team.
But Alabama, he was good in that Alabama game, too.
Yeah. No, he had a sack in that game, 2 sacks in this game, so he had 2.5 tackles for loss overall, which obviously includes the 2 sacks. Man, Zion Young is really good. He is a really good edge rusher. And I think at this point now, probably a late first-round pick based on how he's playing. Obviously, pre-draft, you know that's going to be a big thing for him. But, man, I don't see him slipping past the second round. Like, I think he's definitely done a lot to improve his.
See what his combine numbers go to, but mm-hmm. I could see towards the end of the first.
Yeah, I could definitely see that for Zion. I think right now he's
got the leadership capabilities too.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see what the arm length is. I'm really interested because that part to me, if that matches what you see on tape, then Zion Young is for sure a first round pick. Like if the measurables match the tape, he is absolutely a first-round pick. Wisconsin, they hosted the Buckeyes.
And by the way, Ahmad Hardy, I know we got to wait for him.
Yeah, again, that's the reason why I'm not bringing him up.
He said back-to-back, but just to keep an eye on him. But yeah,
this is a next-year guy.
But keep this in mind. Missouri was not able to run the ball like they had been in the past because Auburn's run defense 11th in the country. They're very good. 4th in the SEC.
They have a great D-line. So, yeah, like I said, that's the reason why I don't bring up Jeremiah Smith because not eligible.
But keep in mind, Zion was doing this against a very mobile quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson Arnold is a very, very mobile quarterback. Carnell Tate, man. Whew. Man, he's starting to show something here. He had 111 receiving yards on 6 catches, 2 touchdowns against the Badgers. Kenyatta Jackson had a sack. Sonny Styles had a pick. Like, Ohio State
I think he does benefit a bit from Jeremiah Smith, though.
Yeah, but he's still doing his 100%. Thing. Even if he's benefiting, like, you know, we could say the same thing about Emeka Ebuka last year. He benefited a lot from having Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. But you know what? Still really good. And he has transferred that to the league where he's been awesome. So, yeah, no, I think what we're seeing from Carnell Tate is for real. I don't think he's the best receiver in his class. I think I would probably put him right now. In terms of skill, I'd probably put him at like 3rd in this class. In terms of like if we're talking about like just sheer physical talent, probably like 4th or 5th for receivers.
I'd still put him behind Tyson Lemon.
Yeah, I would put him behind Jordan Tyson. I would put him by Mekhi Lemon, and I would put him behind Chris Brazel in terms of talent.
I tell you what, Christopher Bell's right up there,
and
man.
Chris Bell, like it's arguable between him and Tate as far as overall talent goes. I think he's more skilled than Bell, and I think he's more skilled than Brazel. But I think the talent, this first round receiver class, like people are going to really be talking about that when we get to the pre-draft process. Cause this is a really good receiver class overall.
No, it is. I mean, I don't know who you're, I think Mekhi Lemon.
My favorite is Mekhi Lemon right now, but like I'm a big fan of Tyson.
And don't forget Denzel Boston too at Washington.
He's not top 5 right now.
He's 6'3", 6'4" receiver too. And he's putting up some big numbers.
Right. It's just, to me, it's like, I think there's other guys who are better than him right now, but this, I mean, him in the second round, Woo. Like, that's, you get a guy with that type of physical profile in the second round.
And Denzel round, has good. One game over 100.
Right. And that's a big problem. Another big problem.
He's consistent 4 to 5, and he's a touchdown maker. He scores a lot of touchdowns. Right. Physical
yeah.
receiver.
Yeah. But. My big thing, though, was high volume. That's the thing that concerns me. So, Michigan State took on number 3, Indiana. They lost that game by 25 to the Hoosiers. Fernando Mendoza, 332 with 4 touchdowns. He's at this point now, I think he's really starting to solidify his first round argument.
He's 1-2 as far as Heisman odds, depending on the book. But these receivers, like, you have mentioned here, the stat line, which
Omar
I'm lacking.
Cooper Jr., 115 yards and a touchdown. Elijah Surratt, 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean,
and this doesn't even have E.J. Williams, who's 6'4". But I'll be honest with you, I think Surratt's the best one. I think Surratt's a top 10 receiver in this draft class, Chris. Omar Cooper, certainly, he's the second best receiver on the team. They have 3 draftable receivers in Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a very talented team, and I definitely think at this point now, Mendoza's, he's looking about first round. He's looking like a first round value.
Oh, 100%. When you see the guys falling all around him.
Yeah. I mean, and look, his receivers are really good too. So.
And he's big, 6'5". I mean, he's.
Yeah.
He's like, legit. He had a legit year at Cal.
I don't know if I'm projecting him to be like a great quarterback or anything, but I think he's an NFL quarterback.
Compared to this draft class that's really disappointed, he hasn't.
Yeah. Ole Miss took on Georgia. It's a high-scoring affair here.
2 punts.
43-35. Trinidad Chambliss, 263 passing yards, or passing touchdown, 42 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. A guy that we talked about last year when he was playing for the Pokes, Dejon Stribling. He now plays for the Running Rebs, and he had 96 receiving yards and a touchdown in that game. Xavier Harris, their defensive tackle, he had a sack in that game.
It was a crazy game with no defense. Literally, there was only 2 punts in this game. They were both Ole Miss in the second half.
Yeah, and Gunnar Stockton, he had himself a really good game. 289 passing, 4 touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown with 59 rushing yards.
I think he re-entered the picture.
I don't, because while this was a really good performance for him in one setting, I think the totality of what he's done this year has not been impressive.
We'll talk about him more later because I want to talk about Gunnar, but the Heisman odds, I mean, I know it's different than the draft, but he's getting around 5 or 6 now. So
yeah, like I said, I mean, and he'll be there.
But this is a good game for him because he showed his dual threat ability.
Right, yeah, and he absolutely did that. My thing is, though, is just like when we talk about, like, he definitely is, like, re-entered the Heisman conversation. I don't think he's
like Ty Simpson's a very good quarterback, and he's starting to show his legs a little bit more because he's a dual threat guy.
Yeah, I don't think Stockton's shown enough to be considered in the conversation.
But that offense is unstoppable.
Right. They're really good.
Throwing the branch and everything else.
Yeah, they're
even
really
Delp
good.
Was good. They were using the tight ends with Lucky, and they were utilizing their tight ends at Georgia.
Yeah. My thing is, like, Stockton, from what I've seen, does not look like an NFL quarterback right now. So I got to see more from him. The first half of the season was not impressive to me. Second half of the season, he can change that, especially if he has a good playoff run, too. But yeah, they got some work to do, and they got a lot of time for that. Texas Tech took on Arizona State. Jordan Tyson, man. Another great performance.
Fighting through injuries
super
in the second
consistent.
Half, too.
Yeah, super consistent in this one. 10 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, just very by the book. Great athlete. Just runs routes really well.
And he was playing the hurt.
Yeah, great at the catch point, man. Like, Tyson's – I understand if you think he's the top.
He's my top one at this point.
I get it. I 100% get it. Very technically proficient.
A guy that I think will play pro football playing quarterback. So
yeah. Tyson, I think, will be in the league for a while, I think. I really like his game. Oregon took on Rutgers. Dante Moore, 290 passing, 4 touchdowns. He also had a pick in the game. Kenyon Sadiq, tight end. We haven't brought his name up a whole lot. We have brought up him as a guy to watch, but we haven't highlighted his performances that much because he doesn't get a ton of
volume.
He's
my favorite tight end.
Yeah, he is. And this game, he showed why. 4 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. And, like, look, tight ends generally are not high volume in college. You don't see a whole lot of Tyler Warrens out there who are getting a ton of usage, a ton of Brock Bowers out there who get a ton of usage.
Maybe Stowers at Vanderbilt gets used a lot, but.
Yeah, he gets used more than the average tight end, but he doesn't get used the way that, like,
Sadiq,
Bowers,
man,
and the other end. And,
he's an impressive
Tyler
guy,
Warren
man.
Did.
He's just an impressive guy. I don't know if you're watching anything on Sadiq, but he's got that whole character.
Yeah.
Not concerns, but the opposite way, a good character.
Yeah, no, very good character guy, very likable. And, yeah, you could like I said, you can see the talent on tape.
With this tight end class, he's going to be right at the top.
I think so too. I agree with that. I think that right now he would be the top tight end in the class. LSU took on Vandy. Vandy pulled off the upset, 31-24. Trey Dez Green.
Your guy. I even texted you there.
I know you did. Trey Dez Green, man.
You see some Trey Dez out there? He's catching everything.
This is an Andy Reid guy through and through. If the Chiefs are going to take a tight end, this is the guy I'd be looking at if I were them. Four catches, 74 yards, and touchdown. This kid's 6'7". This is a basketball player. This guy's got a vertical leap.
He literally plays on LSU's basketball team.
Yeah, Is he a true sophomore or is he a redshirt?
I think he's a sophomore, yes.
He's a true sophomore. We can't bring him up anymore. But, no, this is a guy to look out for sure. I love this kid. USC, Notre Dame. Jordan Maiava, 328 passing.
And by the way, he's better at football than basketball. I think he averaged 1.8 last year.
He 100% is better at football. His basketball numbers were not.
He's a four-star tight end.
Yeah. Maiava, 328, two touchdowns, two picks. Very concerned about the picks. He does have a turnover problem. But, like, some of those throws he makes, you're just – especially to Mekhi Lemon, where he just puts it in a great spot for Mekhi to go up there and win it. Man, like, I could see someone second day falling in love with him if he decides to go this year. I could see someone falling in love with him on day two and taking a flyer and developing him for a year or two. I like Maiava's potential. I like his arm. He's got to work out the turnovers, because if you're turning it over a lot in college, wait till you start playing against all these defenses and the pros.
But in this class, this is time to jump.
But yeah, this is a great time for him to jump. Mekhi Lemon only had four catches, but he had 76 yards. He did lose a fumble in the game though, so not a great look there. But on the opposite sideline, running back Jeremiah Love, one of the best running backs in this class, he tore the Trojans' defense up. 228 yards rushing. He also had 37 receiving yards. He had a touchdown as well. Jeremiah Love, just this was the kind of elite performance that he needed to have to really make a case for the top running back in this class.
Top three running backs.
Like, he's definitely top three. But, like, with him, with Justice Haynes, like, who else would you consider in that top three besides those two? Like, him, Justice Haynes.
And Haynes, the transfer from Alabama.
Right.
So he's the top transfer.
Yeah. So, like, who would you – because, like, it's definitely not last year's running back class. And I don't think we'll have a first-round running back in this class. I think you're probably looking, like, early to mid-second round before Haynes or Love comes off the board. I don't know who you would – like, I feel like those two
– I like the sophomore class better than this one.
Me too. I mean, you know, obviously like Ahmad Hardy and whatnot. Like
– I mean, Love, Jonah Coleman at Washington is very good too.
Yeah.
Singleton will be part of it.
Nick Singleton, but he hasn't been as impressive this year.
Ketron Allen at Penn State.
Yeah, so it's like Ketron Allen, I think, has been a little bit better than Singleton this year.
Notre Dame might have two guys because Jerrion Price might be drafted two from –
maybe. I could see that, but I could also see him sticking around for another year and trying to boost his draft stock. But this is a really, really, like I said, this is not a great running back class, but like I really like the guys at the top of it with Love and Haynes, and Jeremiah Love really showed what he can do in this one. So let's get on to our moneymakers here. Guys who this past week we think made money with their performances, and you know, maybe recently they've been making some money with a good string of games they've been putting together. One guy, my first moneymaker that I think has been making himself some real money, is Zion Young, the edge rusher from Mizzou. Five sacks on the year. He's had three in the last 2 weeks. Mind you, these are against good teams. This is against Auburn, and this is against Alabama. He has played well.
And then Damon Wilson had the two sacks against Alabama. They're a nice little pair together.
Let's say Zion Young has played really well. He's been, even when he's not getting sacks, he's disruptive. Disruptive in the run game. He's disruptive when he gets pressure on the quarterbacks. It always feels like he's doing a really good job at getting around the tackle and applying pressure on the quarterback. Even if he's not in the quarterback, like just him being able to get free on these guys is something that I think is real big for him. I'm a huge fan of what Zion Young has been doing in the first, you know, half of the season or so, over half of the season now. I think he's made himself a lot of money. I think right at this point now, we look at him, he's a late first-round pick, in my opinion. And I think that when you are looking at trying to build out your roster for you're trying to add another impact guy late in the first round. Zion Young, if you need an edge rusher or you think you might need one here soon, Zion Young to me would be a great option for you to add to your team. Who's your first moneymaker?
I'm going Jeremiah Love. You talked about him from Notre Dame. Came in slow starting there a little bit, but it was, I kept saying to you, I was like, man, give Love the ball, man. Give Love the ball. We finally had that opportunity. He's got 758 yards rushing in college football this year, which is 12th if you combine FCS guys with FBS guys. So he's getting the ball. He's going to be a big part if Notre Dame can make that run towards the playoffs and kind of forget about those first two losses at the beginning of the season. But Jeremiah Love was great with 228 yards, but also showed catching ability too. The five catches, 37 yards. But I think Jeremiah Love had a really good game.
He did. We obviously just talked about it. Yeah, he had an awesome game. My second moneymaker, Louisville wide receiver Chris Bell.
I love that guy.
44 catches, 638 yards, and 6 touchdowns on the year. His career high is 730, so he's already at a point where he could have 100-yard performance, and he would have his career best season in his career. 441 yards and 5 touchdowns in his last 3 games. So we're talking about massive production from this guy.
6'2 receiver.
You brought up the size profile. You know, like in this league now where you don't have the deep game quite as effective as it used to be, so teams are looking for guys who are good route runners and really good after the catch. Guys like Chris Bell, they eat in today's
game. And Jeff Brohm, the king of beating these good teams at Louisville, the head coach, and they were taking on Miami. I mean, it's a good team they played.
Yeah, they took on a really good team. And like I said, the last 3 weeks he's been awesome. He's going against good competition. He's putting on his best tape out there. I guarantee you that game against Miami, that's going to be one of the biggest. That game is going to be one of the biggest like examples of what he can do. Because you know we've talked about this a lot. You know, scouts are going to be looking at what you do against the best teams. Miami's number 2 in the nation. They got a good defense, and he went out there and he just shredded them. And you know he was doing that while he was dealing with some injuries too. So I like Chris Bell a lot, and I think that he has really kind of come out of nowhere the last 3 weeks and has really – I mean, like, I think I saw something last week where Trevor Sikkema had him as his second-best receiver in the draft class from PFF. So
it's team going place, too. They're 5-1.
Yeah, you know, they got a former 5-star quarterback in Miller Moss there. So, you know, you're talking about you got a very talented team. Man, like I really like what they're building over there in Louisville, and I think they got some talent there for sure. And I think Chris Bell – might be one of the more talented guys that they have on. Might be the most talented guy they have on.
He's probably my top 5 receivers in this class.
Yeah. Who is your second moneymaker?
You know, I went quarterback this time because I felt this guy really needed this game. And we talked about it a little bit. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia. Incredibly accurate, 25 of 31. It's like he couldn't miss. He couldn't miss. With
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you, and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of 5-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This offense, the way they were doing things, 289 yards, four touchdowns, but he showed his ability to run. And, you know, you're kind of waiting for Gunner to break out and do it, but almost 60 yards rushing, 59 to be exact, and one touchdown. But he was just matching Chambliss on the other side, believe it or not, stride for stride. And George just stayed there and hung around. He just started putting teams away. But very dangerous at the quarterback position. I don't think his skill positions are as good as they've been in the past at George as well. So he's utilizing the backup tight end in this game. Certainly Branch was helping him out as well. But he was doing damage with his legs and his arm.
Yeah.
I think he needed this game. And this was a money-making type game.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see more from him.
Because it was a top 10 team to me, yeah.
I want to see more from him. But, yeah, this was a big win for him. And he's got to string some performances together now that he's because he didn't get the best start to the season. It really only had, like, one, maybe two impressive games to start the year. So now's the time where if you're going to solidify yourself as a first-round pick at quarterback, especially because a lot of the guys we thought were going to be first-round picks this year are not, I definitely think he has the opportunity to do it.
Well, his game log is 190, 227. That was Austin Peay. Then 304, but that was against Tennessee. So against good competition, yeah. He's had good games. And then he did 130, 196, but 289, that's the second high watermark. But rushing wise, he'd been at 26, 48, 22, 38, 13, and then he had the 59 against Ole Miss.
Yeah, but we got to see more from the passing standpoint.
We have to. I do think he got himself back in the discussion. A little bit smaller, but not that matters anymore in the NFL. He's 6'1", so you know, if he was 6'3", or 6'4", probably be higher looked at. But you know, teams are going towards a shorter quarterback. So
yeah, I mean, it won't matter if he puts up the passing numbers. Right now, he's not putting up the passing numbers, so we got to see more from him.
But I'm looking at the talent they got there too a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they got talent though. Zachariah Branch is an NFL wide receiver. Oscar Delp,
hell of a transfer.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar Delp should be. They should be utilizing him more. He's a very good tight end when he's used.
But they're using that Lawson Lucky. Get to this guy, this Lawson Lucky guy, right? He had three touchdowns. Their backup tight end. His other stats lines were 7, 25, and 6. He broke out for 43 and 3 touchdowns because they didn't guard him and they utilized him.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but it's like he's got talent around him.
Yep.
He's not using it very well. So
I did love Delp's blocking in this game, though. Oscar Delp, their tight end.
Yeah. So let's get to our Week 9 watch list, starting with Saturday morning. Three games in that slate. You got UCLA taking on number 2 Indiana. Fernando Mendoza, Elijah Surratt are the two big names you're going to be looking out for. Surratt's a guy, I think, at this point now, he's looking like a second-day guy. But, you know, don't sleep on him working his way up into the first round if he keeps stringing together big performances like he's doing. I think that at this point now, Indiana is, you know, they're definitely been a massive surprise here. And Mendoza and Surratt have been making themselves a lot of money here the last month.
And UCLA's doing well. Tim Skipper's the interim head coach.
Ole Miss takes on number 13, number 8 Ole Miss takes on number 13 Oklahoma. Trinidad Chambliss is going to be the guy to look out for here. Then you've got DeJon Stribling, former Oklahoma State wide receiver. And then defensive tackle Xavien Harris. All names to look out for. For the OU side, you're looking at John Mateer. John Mateer not really played well with the broken hand, the broken throw.
Huge year last year, Washington State was getting off to a great year at Oklahoma. And again, you look at these other quarterbacks in the draft class.
Yep.
He had his chance, but then against Texas, he had the three picks, but he's coming off that broken hand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like he's playing with a broken throwing hand.
But Zatenga had a good game. That's his number one wide.
Which is a really bad idea. Isaiah Zatenga has played very well this year. I think Deion Burks has played well when he's been used. He definitely has the talent to be, I think he's probably a third day guy at receiver, but I think he's going to be a guy that surprises people. Like, I think he's going to be someone that has value in the league as kind of a gadget slot option. But Isaiah Zatenga might be like a steal day two. Like, I really like him as like a third round receiver, maybe fourth round receiver. I really like Satania a lot. And then you have R. Mason Thomas, one of the more underrated edge rushers in this class. I really like what he's put on tape. The big thing for me is the size for him, because he doesn't look like he's like massive and super long.
So I do worry about that. His pass rush for Oklahoma is ridiculously good.
Yeah. And R. Mason Thomas is at the forefront of that, and he's really, really good. He's really good. Speed rusher type, really. And he can use some power too. But the size, he doesn't look as physically imposing as a lot of these other guys look. Auburn takes on Arkansas. And really in this one, Jeremiah Cobb, the running back, Eric Singleton Jr., the receiver, Xavier Chaplin, their left tackle, could be a first-round pick in next year's draft. And then Keldrick Falk, the edge rusher. I think Keldrick Falk's draft stock has dropped some, so he might be a late first or early second guy, but I think he's going to be a steal. I think if he ends up in the right situation with the right team, I'll say this. If somehow he was there sitting there for the Chiefs,
yeah,
he might be an interesting option.
Four straight losses. And
yeah, might be an interesting situation for Keldrick Falk, because I think he's a guy that I think would be a Spags guy, because he's massive. He looks like he's got great length. He's a guy that can play all positions on the D-line. He's a guy that can play zero tech a little bit. He could play one. This is a guy that I think is really good as a three tech, and I think he's really good off the edge. I like him a lot, and Keldrick Falk is a guy that if somehow he were there late first round, that's a guy I'd be really, really interested in them going and getting. Saturday afternoon, you've got Alabama visiting South Carolina. This one, you're looking at, you know, Ty Simpson. You got Jeremy Bernard, quarterback receiver combo. You got Caden Proctor, the best tackle in this class, I think. I think we're both on that. Caden Proctor, incredible athlete there.
Yeah, he's going top 10.
Yeah, maybe
one. Maybe no, not
five.
One. But
maybe top five.
Top five, yeah.
Maybe top five, yeah. LT Overton, the
edge
rusher.
And by the way, Ty Simpson, he's getting himself into the first round at quarterback, which is good for the Chiefs. They have more options available.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this were like a really good class, I don't think he would be a first-round pick. But I think because the class has completely fallen apart, yep. I think he's improving his stock. LT Overton on the edge. James Smith had a sack in Bama's last game, the defensive tackle there. And then, you know, Damani Jackson, Keon Sabb for them. Lenora Sellers for South Carolina, though, to be honest, it's kind of looking like it might be another year for him.
I think Lenora does need to come back. And I know scouts and stuff love him, but he's just not putting the production up there. And he's got guys like Nick Harbor out there to throw to.
I think Nick Harbor's not a consistent receiver himself.
But Lenora's just has not looked – he hasn't looked himself, to be honest with you.
Right. He doesn't look that confident out there.
He looked so good last year, man.
He did. He absolutely did. He doesn't look that confident out there. And I think the biggest thing is that I don't know if he trusts who he's throwing to. Because like you brought up Nick Harbor. Nick Harbor's never been a great receiver at the collegiate level. Like he's never
he had more
been.
Potential and size than actual production.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's super talented. Like he's
I mean there's games that you're like waiting for him to throw to him. He doesn't.
Yeah. And it's and then there's times where like he's
not open.
Because he doesn't get open. And like that's the problem with him is like great athlete, but man, it's almost like he doesn't really know how to play football that much. You know, it's like when he has the ball in his hands and he can get into space, he's electric. But he doesn't really know how to run routes. So I gotta see a lot more from them. But right now, I mean if I'm Lenora Sellers, not only am I looking to come back for a year, I'm also looking to transfer too. Because like he's gonna be in the situation I think Penix was in, where it's like super talented player, but he's not going to get to the first round playing where he's at. Transfer, go somewhere else, get some talent around you, show what you can do with that arm. And I think that that's going to have to happen somewhere else because it ain't working where he's at right now. I don't know how much longer Shane Beamer is going to be coaching there. I think you got to figure something out if you're him. Mizzou takes on Vandy this weekend, 15-10 matchup. And two guys I think you should be looking out for. Zion Young, the edge rusher for Mizzou. Tight end Eli Stowers.
And I think Keaton Green on offensive line and Damon Wilson, the other edge rusher they have, is someone to keep an eye on.
Texas, Mississippi State.
Which, by the way, this is Vanderbilt's first time in the top 10 since 1947.
Yeah. I mean,
it's one of the marquee matches like College Game Day.
They've been a punching bag for a long time in the SEC. So, yeah. Number 22, Texas takes on Mississippi State. Arch Manning, which I think at this point we can probably consider him a 27 guy. Did not really look
that 27 class Kentucky. Fill up with quarterbacks now because 20. That's why the Mateers guys were all having a chance.
None of these
man.
Guys were good enough to go in 26.
And I can't even say Mateer won't come back.
At this point, I would kind of lean towards him coming back because of the injury. Yeah, I would lean towards it because he's destroying his draft stock right now.
This class looks so good, man, with Nussmeier and everybody.
I think Mateer is destroying his draft stock. So, yeah, the 27 class is looking better now.
And Nussmeier didn't look good this past week.
He did not look good. He has not looked good, really.
That offense.
Aside from one game, LSU. He really hasn't looked good all year. No. So, but yeah, I mean, watch Arch. Anthony Hill Jr., watch him. He's really good linebacker for the Longhorns.
I think he's the best in the class.
Yeah, him or Sonny Styles, either of those two.
He can
I
do
think.
So many different things.
Yeah, he can do a lot.
Jack Especially Injury, in a 4-3 system.
Yeah. Jack Injury is the tight end. Really, really, really talented tight end there.
They underutilize him.
They do.
But don't look at his stats compared to what he can do.
Right, yeah. I mean, again, a lot of tight ends don't get a ton of use.
That was Mendoza's guy, by the way, back at Cal.
Yeah. Saturday primetime, number 3, A&M, taking on number 20, LSU. A&M's got Casey Conception, who, man, if the Chiefs could get their hands on him.
He dude's a stud. The way he runs routes and catches the football with his hands, not his body.
But
Marcel Reed, I love this guy, quarterback, and I know that, we're not talking real pro potential. Even though Marcel Reed could go. But I don't think he will.
I mean, he could go. I don't think he'd be a high pick.
It's a very good team. They're undefeated. And if Missouri beats Vanderbilt, they play in M the following weekend. That'll be a high spotlighted game, too.
Yeah. Like I said, Casey Conception is, he's super talented. And I think if he decides to go next year, I think he's going to be one of the most underrated receivers in this class. Because I don't think he's like crazy, crazy big. I think he's like, what would you consider like a mid-size wide receiver there? It was like 5'11", 6 foot, something like that. So, not crazy big, but boy, he's electric.
I think this undersized thing is starting to...
It doesn't matter anymore.
I think it's changing, man, where you don't need that 6'2", 6'3" receiver like we saw in 23 and 22 you needed. And, I think it's the guys like Xavier Worthy kind of, bucking that trend of getting somebody in to just run routes. That's the most important thing. Can you run the routes?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that we're starting to see less of an importance on size, more so of an – I mean, I think the weight, to me, is more important than the height for these guys.
I see it with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and linebackers.
Oh, yeah, especially linebackers. Linebackers now are like 6'1", 6'foot, 6'1".
They're safeties.
When, a few years ago, if you go back 15 years ago, it was a big knock if you were under 6'2". As a linebacker. And now, you go and look at these, when we did our preview for the linebacker class, the biggest thing that jumped out was how short these guys are now. There's so many 6 foot, 6'1" linebackers that are getting picked high. I mean, Nick Bolton's 6 foot. And I think that might be generous for him. I think he might actually be like 5'11". But he's one of the better middle linebackers in the league because they're asking these guys to basically just be, short yardage safeties, Play tight, close to the line of scrimmage, but you're basically a safety. So, Casey Conception, Cassius Howell, the edge rusher for A&M, and then Will Lee, the third, the cornerback. For LSU, Garrett Nussmeier, at this point now, I don't think he's a first-round pick, but, maybe he puts together a nice little campaign to end the year. Aaron Anderson, their wide receiver, if he plays, he's had some health issues as of late. Berrien Brown, I'm almost to a point where I want to take him off the list because he hasn't been that impressive this year.
I just look at their offense and the quarterback play right now at this point. I think that's hurting Berrien.
Yeah. For their linebackers, I mean, both their top – Whit Weeks.
He didn't play last week, but
– Yeah, but super talented. Both those, especially Harold Perkins as a blitzer. He's incredible. He's going to get picked probably in the mid-rounds, third, fourth round. Whoever gets him – if they use him kind of similar to the way that the Chiefs use Leo Chanel, boy.
Yeah.
Man, so good. And then Mansoor Delane, one of my favorite, maybe my favorite man cover corner in this class. I mean, if the Chiefs can get them, I'd love that. Wisconsin, number six, Oregon. Dante Moore, quarterback. Kenyon Sadiq, tight end. Isaiah World, tackle. Bryce Betcher, linebacker. And then Dylan Thieneman at safety. And then finally, Stanford takes on number nine, Miami. Carson Beck for now. We'll see. That was a terrible performance.
Needs to get his Friday butt back night. In the first round. Just,
I've never been a believer in Carson Beck, but there's a lot of NFL scouts that do. And so if he rebounds this week, they're probably obviously going to keep him on their first-round board.
He'll be drafted behind these other guys on your list.
100, he would probably be the last quarterback taken in the first round if he were taken in the first round. And I wouldn't be shocked if it was like a Jackson Dart type situation where it's like probably a second rounder, but maybe somebody trades back and then takes him. But yeah, I mean, I could see that for sure. Again, there's teams out there that really like him. Francis Maui-Goa, the tackle there.
Right tackle.
And then edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr.
He's still playing only on the right, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's only on the right. And then Reuben Bain Jr., the edge rusher for the Hurricanes.
That's a top 10-er.
Man, he's at this point now, top 15 for sure, maybe top 10.
Edge.
He's a really, really good pass rusher. And he's made himself a lot of money because he was on the watch list last year, and he was considered probably a mid-round pick if he was going to go. If not for NIL, he probably would have went last year and bit a mid-round pick.
But then you can still make the playoffs, but you know they do this every year. They look great, and then they stumble. Like
they fall
the
apart.
Louisville.
They always fall apart, man.
It's always a team like Louisville or somebody comes in and knocks them off.
So, well, that's it for this week's edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. Make sure you download, subscribe, like, give us 5 stars, tell your friends. We greatly appreciate it. We put a lot of time into this. We watch a lot of college football. We watch a lot of extra film. We do a lot of research. Bink knows who these people go to prom with. So, like, we put a lot of work. So we'd appreciate if you guys continue to support us. Great slate of games this week. Chiefs play Monday Night Football next week. So definitely going to be an interesting matchup there. The Chiefs have a chance to go 5-3. And be in perfect position when they go to Buffalo.
And probably playing without Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Washington. So.
Probably no Jaden Daniels.
See Mariota again.
So, yeah, it'll be Marcus Mariota. And, probably not that great. But definitely excited that the Chiefs have been able to get their offense right. And hopefully they can keep this going next week. And hopefully in a couple weeks when they go play the Bills, things are looking really nice for him. So, for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.